Blog Talk Radio.
Demetria, glad to be with you again.
Hello, everyone. I am Tanya.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm been reflecting a lot, as you can imagine, but I'm doing good. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it sure is. It sure is. It's been a very eventful, what do you want to say, 2 weeks? Very eventful week in our country, across the world. It's just, there's been some things happening, and I know we'll get into that in just a few minutes. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, I am too. I really am.
Yeah. So let's catch up. How was your weekend?
My weekend was real chill. That's all I can say. I rested a bit, spent some time with my niece. So really a pretty decent weekend. Went to a Sunday school conference on Saturday. And that was really, really good. Learned some really good information. So also, it was very encouraging to see so many people gathered to learn about how, you know, we can be more effective in sharing God's gospel. And so it was really encouraging, despite everything that's going on, to see, you know, people...
Yeah.
Eager to learn more and also to be fed more. So that was great.
Yes, that is good. All of that is good. Just to learn more, to become better, and become just more in tune with what the Lord is saying in this hour and what he's doing. We need to know. And I, for one, want to know.
Yeah, we need to know, and we also need to know, well, you know, allow the Spirit to guide us in seeking proper learning, or teaching, I should say, on how to effectively just, you know, spread the proper message, because it just seems like so much has been distorted. There's so much information out there, so much that has confused folks, and it's imperative that when you, you know, you say, you know, you want to share information with people, you want to share them, share the right information. So
yeah,
it was good to learn.
Yeah. Well, we've already kind of hinted around that we are going to be talking about things that have been going on in our nation in particular, and, you know, some things worldwide. So this show is basically going to be us chatting about current events, especially with the happenings of the past 2 weeks, once again, at least here in our country, very, very major happenings. I mean, historical happenings in this country. And so I guess we may as well just jump right in. Let's just jump right in. The big thing that everybody is talking about, of course, is the Supreme Court decision to allow for gay marriages in this country. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the United States is like the 21st country to decide this. Do you know if I'm right about that?
I'm not certain if you're right, but I will say that as I've been reading a little bit more, I didn't realize Canada had already passed the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hope I'm correct in that, but if I'm not mistaken, I recall reading an article that Canadians had passed the law some time ago. So it's new to me, but I, you know, again, not being aware, you know, of what's
right.
going on around me, yeah.
And I think that is a great takeaway that I hope we can leave the show with, of just being aware, and that's a big part of our show, is just getting out information. Of course, once again, I'll say this again from time to time, that we are a show with a biblical worldview. So don't be surprised that that's what you hear when you tune in. You hear us talking about the Bible and saying things that we believe that we're giving it as we feel that the Lord has given it to us. That is going to be our guiding factor. But there's so much that we're not aware of. And sometimes it boggles my mind when I engage in a conversation with somebody. And I'm not saying that I know it all. Lord knows I don't. But I try to stay aware of what's happening in our time. And so to talk with other people who either don't know or kind of yell, they frankly don't care. They just don't care. So Mr. Bridges had a conversation with an acquaintance of his, and he flat out said, I don't care about that stuff. About anything, just how disengaged people are. It surprised me.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
I was saying that my husband, he had a conversation with an acquaintance of his who simply said, I don't care about all that stuff. So to not only not be aware, but to not even care.
It troubles me. What concerns me is that, I'm just speaking for me personally, being a believer in Jesus Christ, not caring. So that concerns me, because I was that person. You know, I always use myself as the example. And now having the relationship with Jesus Christ and recognizing that he is the Lord of my life, that now I'm more aware of things. And I think the disheartening thing about the Friday decision it's not so much as, you know, arguing with people about what that they're in love or anything like that, because I know that's the slogan, you know, love wins. It's the rejection of God. And that's the part that had me so sad. I literally was sad. My heart was heavy because I'm even recognizing how I participated in certain things that rejected God, rejected Christ. And so, you know, in my own lifestyle, when I was living, you know, with someone not being married, having sex out of wedlock, I mean, you know, out of marriage, excuse me, out of wedlock. But so just realizing how even I was participating in rejecting God. So the decision on Friday, it had me sad because just because where God had me now and the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ is seeing it and really living out and seeing the scriptures being played out. And you and I talked about this a little bit. And so that's where the sadness came in. And now knowing that I have to be aware of what's going on around me. I was living in sin, and I just really wasn't, you know, you're just in it. So you're kind of not paying attention. You know, you're distracted by whatever is going on out there in the world, and we may get upset about something dealing with racism, or we may get upset about, I don't know, you know, just upset about some things that are, I don't want to say racism is a small thing, but the core problem to racism is sin. And so we never had those conversations and relate them back to where it's derived from and where it's coming from. And so certain things happen, and we're shocked that it happened. And people feel uncomfortable to talk about certain topics, like one being homosexuality, because when Christians who talk about it, it's like, oh, you know, there you go, you're Christian again. But God's word does make you feel uncomfortable. And again, that's one of those things about just speaking what God said. It made me uncomfortable, and it does make you feel uncomfortable, and it should change you. That's the purpose. And so I know a lot for me, one, not being aware was because I just didn't really care, I guess, like the person that told your husband. I was so far removed from God, I wasn't paying attention. Now that I am paying attention and seeing things more, and God is revealing things more to me, it just, my heart is heavy when I see people rejecting God. Like the young man who went into the church and killed 9 innocent people who were serving God and worshiping God, who were there to draw closer and near to God, and just to walk into a church with so much hate and take those persons' lives. But the beautiful thing was to hear about, because I haven't seen it myself yet, but to hear about how, and I've read about it, how those people have forgiving hearts, and how I read when someone even asked that gentleman to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You know, and that was just like, wow. You know, that was amazing. Some of the other things that are going on, and I know we're going to touch on those things again. We're not just skating over stuff, y'all, because we're going to go back to the same-sex decision and talk about what happened in South Carolina, but also the people, the Christians who are being beheaded. This didn't just happen. This has been going on. And, you know, it's sad to say, I'm just becoming aware of it. I'm just starting to care about it. I'm just getting on. Like, I'm like, God, how did I not? But I know why I didn't, because I was turning my face from God and distracted by everything of the world. And, you know, I've talked to you more and more about, often about seeing how, lately when I would go on the internet and see that mothers were killing their children, and just that thing just was weighing heavy on me. Mental illness and seeing the stronghold that people had over them due to mental illness, which is, you know, another spiritual warfare. So those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about this afternoon, this evening. And like Demetria said, don't be surprised to hear what we have to say. And I say that because I was talking to group of females yesterday, and somebody came into the place where I was, and they, just like we always talk about current events that are going on, and they mentioned about how people are in Jefferson Parish lining up to get their marriage license. And then when I responded the way I did, it wasn't in a mean way, but I just, I feel so sad for them. And that person was surprised by the way I responded. And it's like, don't be surprised, because you already know what I'm going to say. You know the way I'm living my life, and I'm not surprised by your comment. But don't be so harsh toward me because I'm saying what I'm saying, you know. And because Norm, I'm
right.
not harsh toward anybody about the way that they feel at all.
Right. If I could right now, let me just do a couple of housekeeping things here. I'm getting some kind of feedback, so I'm going to do something
from
here.
Me? I'm sorry.
So do I sound better? I'm taking it off speaker. Do I sound better? Can you hear me okay?
You were sounding fine from me. You may have been
okay,
getting
yeah,
on
there's
your
some kind
you're
of
close
feedback
to the terminal.
Or something that was... Oh, okay. Okay.
Is it coming from me?
I think so, but I'm not sure. So I just want to,
okay.
Like, let me just try something different and see if that kind of changes it up a little bit.
Okay.
The other thing, I want to go ahead and give out our telephone number, 347-637-3604. Please call us and chat with us tonight. I do see we have a caller on the switchboard already. Going to ask you to just give us a few minutes, get the conversation started. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do so. I am expecting another call. Hopefully, before too long, we'll have another call on the switchboard, which I think is an awesome testimony. I can't wait for you all to hear this. But, again, that number is 347-637-3604. Press the number 1. To chat with us live. I think the feedback seems to be gone now. So I'm gonna I'm gonna stay like this for a few minutes and see how that goes. But tell me if I start sounding strange, and then I'll put it back on speaker and I'll just make another switch.
Okay. I sure will. But on my end, you were sounding okay.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. So one of the things that does come to mind that I want to make sure that we say before this night is over is that we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes it's just good to be reminded of things. So we see all of this playing out in the natural. And, you know, again, we're coming from a biblical view. There are even... other Christians, though, who are okay with the decision that the Supreme Court made. That's sometimes surprising. You know, everybody's different. Things are going to happen. We know that. Things aren't always going to be to our liking. We continue to trust in Jesus. You mentioned the clerk of courts. That are ready to issue out these marriage licenses and, you know, just jump on full steam ahead with the decision that has been made. And you know what, Danielle, I just know our part to play has not changed. What's required of us has not changed. What was required of us on Thursday before this decision was made is the same thing that's required of us today, even in light of that decision being made. So that is for us to be salt and light in the earth today. That is for us to represent our Father and our Savior. Be those examples. This shouldn't knock us off our feet. Yes, it was a blow. And again, because what you said, you know, you see people rejecting what you know is truth, what you know to be truth. And I think internally, everybody has that something inside them that says that God is right. But when we stand in light of Him, we're exposed. And we don't want to be exposed on that level. So to a great degree, that's why we reject Him. That's why we reject His ways. So what the Supreme Court did, I do want to make sure I clarify that. This is what happened with that. And this is one reason to be concerned. The Supreme Court, you know, one of the branches of our government, as it relates to the issue of gay marriage versus a marriage being between one man, one woman, what we would call a natural marriage, this, it was a state's issue. States could decide for themselves because it wasn't a constitutional issue. So states all across this land had decided, you know, it's between one man and one woman, here in Louisiana in particular. Now, some years ago, Louisiana had it written into our Constitution language to protect religious rights. And people were kind of like, well, why would you even do that? We don't need that. Of course our rights are going to be protected. Well, fast forward now, we're in 2015, and we kind of see that religious rights may indeed be in jeopardy to some degree. So now the Supreme Court decides this case. And what they did was not constitutional. They overrode the state's rights. When people go to the polls and they vote and they say, this is what we believe, you would think that would stand, right? The Supreme Court decided, well, no, the current law, not to change it, not to make it what they want it to be. So that's one of the issues that's out there. I want to say, when we elect people into offices, especially the presidency, because the presidents are the ones who appoint the Supreme Court justices, this is when you have to keep things like that in mind of who you're voting for when you go in that voting booth. I want to say that, but at the same time, I want to say, don't put your trust in that politician that you're voting for. Keep your trust in Jesus.
Say it again.
Yeah, because we've got another election coming up next November, right? Well, 2016.
If I can just add to that, like I said, so Friday was a, like you said, it was a blow. It was a blow to me, right? And I just was searching for that encouragement and just saying, God, you know, keep me encouraged, because now that the blinders are off and I see the world for what it really is. So now I'm see, this is real. Jesus, you are real.
Right.
All this stuff, you know, Satan is real. Spiritual warfare is real. Like you just said, you mentioned that there possibly may have already been 29 countries. Am I saying that right?
21. I think we're the 21st.
Okay, well, possibly, because we want to make sure, you know, we're just estimating right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people, if you know, call us and let us know. But maybe possibly 21 countries that have made this law, right? So we know now that this has been going on. So Satan has been fighting all along, right? And not just with the 21 countries. This has been going on. We are really in a spiritual warfare. So one of my friends, and I use that word strongly. He's becoming a friend. Had me read something today from Matthew, second chapter of Matthew, and I hope that you all take some time to read it. But I just want to just quickly, Misi, pull out the third verse, and just to give a quick overview. This is where the scripture is talking about when the three wise men were going out in search of Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus. They knew Christ was going to get ready to be born, right? So they were headed out on this search to look for the baby, and of course King Herod had commissioned them to go out and do this job. And so in verse 3 it says, when Herod the king heard these things, heard that the baby was going to be born. And in verse 2 it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so Jesus is born, and Herod heard about this, it said he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I read this before, and I just skated over that. So the king was troubled about the birth of Jesus. And not only was the king troubled, but all of Jerusalem was troubled. All of Jerusalem were the Christians. So it shows me that even then,
you had Christians. You just said Christians who are either not caring about this or don't want to, don't care about the ruling on Friday, or even are siding with it. You have some that are siding or some that just don't care. Both is wrong, you know. But anyway, even then you had Christian folk back then in Jerusalem who were troubled that the Messiah was here. And these are people, and it goes on to talk about how the priests and the scribes, the people who studied about Jesus Christ, the priests, the scribes who were writing about Jesus Christ come, they were troubled by this. And so, you know, I had already asked this question a while back, so if people don't believe in Jesus, okay, that's your thing. But why keep pulling Jesus into all of this to give you credence on what you want to do, i.e. redefine marriage? And I'm not talking about non-believers because, that's a whole, another topic. But when believers are siding with something like this, you know, I'm starting to see that this has been going on and coming to the conclusion that people just don't want Jesus to be their Lord, the Lord over their life. They don't want to accept change in their life. And you're right, they don't want to accept that change. So when I skated over there and I'm learning that when you're reading the word, you got to take your time and read it. I mean, really take your time. And I'm glad God has me at that point where I'm starting to take my time, or I have people who are challenging me to take my time, I should say. I thank God for that. Because when you see that all of Jerusalem, and knowing that Jerusalem was the holy place, they knew he was coming. They, you know, the king went to the priests and the scribes and said, where is he? Because they knew he knew where the Messiah was going to be born. They knew. So I thank God for the friend that pointed this out to me today. I really do. And I don't know if he's listening or not, but I really do appreciate him pointing it out. And just, it gave me more confidence to know, again, that this has been going on. And you said something, Demetria, that we have to continue to do our due diligence. We have to continue to study.
Right.
We have to continue to share God's gospel with those that really want to hear. Scripture speaks about that. You know, Jesus talked about that. There are some, and you say this all the time, those who have ears, let them hear. We're not to force it on anybody. You know, share with those that want to know. Just like Christ told the disciples, dust your feet off and keep on going for the ones who don't want to hear it. Don't get upset.
Right.
And I would tell that to anyone.
And we want to, we want them to get it so bad, but we have to resolve ourselves that not everyone will receive. So we can't even let that throw us off course. We can't continue to be that salt and light and continue to do fulfill the mission that God has given us, you know?
Absolutely.
I want to acknowledge the two people on the switchboard. I'm getting ready.
Okay.
Go ahead and press number one. I'm going to add you to, I'm going to make you live. That's the 255 number, okay? I'm going to go ahead and make you live when I see you that you've pressed one. While you're doing that, I want to say that, like you said, you encountered somebody and they were surprised at your response, Tanya, on what your thoughts were. You may not have gotten into an in-depth conversation, but that may come. So I'm saying that to say we don't know when we're going to encounter somebody, engage with somebody, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready for those encounters. God can use us in the midst of that. I'm adding on my daughter. This is Ashley. Ashley, are you there? Okay.
Hello.
Ashley.
Hello,
welcome
Ashley.
To the show, Ashley.
Hi.
Ashley is just a firecracker. She's brilliant. I've always thought she was brilliant, but she's amazing. And when she is passionate about something, she runs with it, and she thinks things out. We've had conversations for years about different things, about things of God, and she found herself able to to speak from her heart and speak the truth that God had deposited in her. I'm going to let her pick up this conversation. This happened on Saturday. Is that right, Ashley?
I think it was either Friday or Saturday.
It was after the decision. Yeah. It was after the decision was made, the Supreme Court's decision. So I do want to lay that little groundwork. Go ahead, Ashley.
Mm-hmm. So I work in an area of management. I'm a co-manager at a store. I won't exactly give out my company. But when I moved over to a different location for my company, another guy got moved with me. And when I met this guy, he was obviously homosexual, whether closeted or out, I wasn't sure at the time. But either Friday or Saturday, he comes up to me. I'm in a certain part of the store and I'm working. And he says, you know, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. He's about 2 or 3 hours late to work. He said, my fiance just lost my child. She was pregnant. She was about 4 weeks pregnant. She lost the baby. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, are you okay? Is she okay? And he steps in a little bit closer to me and he says, I don't think I can do this. And I said, do what? And he says, I'm trying to come out of this homosexual lifestyle. And I thought having this baby and trying to have this family would help me be straight.
Mm.
And I'm not sure exactly what response he was expecting from me, but I just told him as honestly as I could, you know, having a child isn't going to make you straight. You're not going to wake up one day and just magically no longer be interested in men. And this is my true belief on people who, there are people out here in this world who do rudely feel like they are homosexual. I'm not talking about the people who jumped on the fad or the people who just want to wear rainbows, because I think there are plenty of those. I'm not even talking about the people who've been molested and now feel this way. But my true strong belief is that everybody has a struggle of some sort that they're born with, whether it be alcoholism or you might be a natural born liar, and that's the struggle you're born with. But I think God honors and respects when you wake up every day and you decide not to indulge in that sin. And I think that's the mindset of we're all born in sin. We all have something that we carry on our back that we need to struggle against. Who was that? Was it Paul who said, you know, I kill myself every day. I have to deny myself of whatever I want or what's going to fulfill me. And that's what I told him. I said, this might be what you want to do, but you've been around me and you profess to be a Christian and all this other stuff. I said, so you got to wake up and kill yourself every day too. You got to deny yourself of whatever it is you want if the Christian lifestyle is what you want. And on top of that, you having a child out of wedlock does not cancel out you being gay. You're not going to, you can't fix one sin with another. And I think that's another place where most homosexuals are missing it. We're not saying that, you know, the woman with 5 kids out of wedlock isn't as sinful as you are for being homosexual. She's wrong, you're wrong, both of y'all need to fix it.
Yeah.
But right now, the issue becomes when you try to make your wrong seem right. The woman with 5 kids out of wedlock knows that she's wrong, but you are fighting to make your wrong seem right. And that's where the correction has to come in.
Ashley, that was well put. That was really well put. And the biggest thing to take home about out of what you said is that we all have to die daily, every last one of us. You, me, your mom, all of us who say that we are Christians and Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we die daily, every day, every morning we wake up. We're constantly asking God. We have to have a repentance posture every day. And that, you're so true, that's not only what homosexuals are missing, but that's what a lot of people are missing.
Right.
Is that we have struggles. Paul said, when you're talking about Paul, he had a thorn in his side. And you are absolutely right, you know, that we have to go to God and with a confessing heart every single day. And that's what it's all about. We are born in sin, and Jesus came here to show us how to live in this world until we return home.
until we reconcile unto mm-hmm. him. That was well put. Mm-hmm. That was well put.
We can't go at homosexuality so hard that it makes these Christians who have this struggle have to decide to be fornicators just to not be persecuted for being homosexual.
Right.
If we as a body are going to fix an issue, it can't be to divert it over to another place.
Right.
We
and
have
that's
to.
People need to yeah. Go ahead.
It really has to be a process of when you are helping someone, it should be purely search the scriptures, humble yourself before God, seek answers
right.
in Him.
That's right.
There should be no, oh, I think you're gay. Let me hook you up with someone else in the church. Wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In such error.
Mm-hmm.
It really
it
has to be,
something
if you
else.
Want this walk, you got to make it.
That's right.
It's another
it's something
stronghold.
Else I don't want us to overlook in what happened here in the counter that Ashley had.
Yeah.
This was after the Supreme Court, the president gave everybody permission. If you're homosexual, here. Come on, do your thing. This young man approached Ashley looking for permission to go out and do just that.
And Ashley had an opportunity to witness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, don't miss that. But something in him called it a struggle. I'm struggling with
mm-hmm.
this. That's the day, if any other day, that he didn't even have to use that language. He could
at
I'm
all.
Free to be
it
myself
was okay
now.
For him to
but
be,
this is something.
Yeah.
Yes. But
well,
he, something in him was
yeah.
struggling.
Right. And that's the conviction,
so
and that's what happened.
So the scary thing is, at this point in time, how many Christians are really struggling with homosexuality, and now it's everywhere in their face telling them it's 100% okay. We have churches
right.
who are telling you it's okay. We have churches who are saying, you know what? I have no right to judge. It's not judging. It's correcting. And there's something about a church that should hold a standard, a clear-cut line
right.
standard, no ifs, ands, buts about it. We're supposed to be on a hill.
Well, not,
and
not
we
only
have these
are we
churches
having them,
who are compromising.
And not only
right.
are we having them compromising, but we're having – you're having pastors who are misinterpreting, whether it's purposefully or just not knowing, but they are misinterpreting scripture. And that's
mm-hmm.
another biggie, that you have all this deception out there. And actually, that's another biggie that's like, you know, one of those things that kind of stick out really loudly at me is that, you know, I've seen a pastor said, you know, I'm just going to follow what Jesus said and treat thy neighbor as I treat thyself. But you don't want to go, you never talk about when Jesus said what defiles a man and how do we, you know, what are the things that we do to defile ourselves. So what about that? Like, don't, you know, it's like people
and
are searching
in these
for.
Instances, yeah, in these instances, mm-hmm. you really have to look at, once something that blatant, just that blatant to neglect from the issue comes out, you really have to look at your pastor and see if he has jelly for a spine. And how much of that can you take sitting under a person who does not hold the standard or who would rather deflect or avoid than to really hold what the Bible says to be true?
And it's another thing, you have to study. You have
mm-hmm.
to know the word for yourself. And so when Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth, he means it. Because if you don't, there's many people who are going to church every Sunday morning and they're getting that one scripture that's, you know, preached from with three different points that follow that scripture, and that's it. And they're not fed until the following Sunday. So you have to
mm-hmm.
know it for yourself. So what you're saying is so true. And then you consult God and ask him to reveal those things to you if your pastor isn't saying a proper thing. And if you are studying and you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, because you can line it up with his scripture. You can line it up with
mm-hmm.
the Word. And if it's not lining up, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, that is amazing that you were able to give a testimony, to witness, excuse me, to someone right after that happening. And your mom pointed out the fact that this guy was convicted.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, what he wanted at the root of everything, he wants a family. He wants a mate and children. And the laws just gave him the wherewithal to do that.
To do
you
it.
Can
right.
marry whoever you want to. And, I mean, homosexual couples have been adopting kids for years now.
Yes,
so
yes.
With no recourse and no real question. And this is where I struggle so much is, A, I'm a Christian, so living in the South is not all that bad being a Christian, because we tend to hold a different kind of standard than up north. We look at those guys and we're like, hey, you know, you guys do whatever you want to do. We're going to toe the line a little bit closer down here. But B, I'm African-American. So living in the South becomes a catch-22 and a double-edged sword for a Christian black person.
It does. And I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because I do want to segue into another part of this conversation we're having tonight. I just realized we haven't taken a break. Do y'all want to take a break? Or do you want to
I think we should keep going, if that's okay.
Okay. I'm going to throw out the number one more time, 347-637-3604. We've got a couple other calls on the switchboard. Press the number one if you want to add your voice to the conversation. I'll continue the talk. When I was creating the show, I don't know if y'all had a chance to actually look at the homepage of the show, where I had the title, The Sign of the Times, but the slideshow that I created, I put up a bunch of flags representing the signs of our times. I've got the Christian flag up there, Ashley. I know that'll be significant to you, having gone to a Christian school. So every morning you started with the pledge to the American flag, the Christian flag, and the Bible. So that flag is theirs. We've got the American flag. I've got a Star of David flag for Israel, ISIS. I've got the rebel flag, and I've got that rainbow flag up there, because these are all signs of the times that we're living in. Everybody has a banner that they are walking under. Whether we like their banner or not, whether we are allegiant to their banner or not, we know the ones that we are allegiant to. Oh, let me say this. I even have a symbol there for the N for Nazarene. Tanyel, you kind of touched on that. The people that ISIS, they are targeting and they're marking as if they were in Nazi Germany and they were Jewish. This is happening yet again. They're marking the places where these people live and work. They're marking them for death. And they have been killing them for well over a year now. And that's the sign that signifies them. So 2 weeks ago, we had that church shooting, right? And it was discovered that the perpetrator, he walked under the banner of that Confederate flag. So now the Confederate flag is in the news. I'm segueing into that conversation right now. Because now it's like, let's get rid of the flag. Let's get rid of some national monuments. Go ahead and tell me your feelings on those things.
Who first? Me or Tanya?
You can go ahead,
Ashley. You can
guess tonight.
Okay, so here's my issue with the Confederate flag thing. It's a part of U.S. history. I feel like it belongs in a museum. That's where it belongs. I feel like if you want to sell that flag, and you want to buy that flag and wear that flag, it is 100% your right to do so, and I don't want to infringe upon that. But I would like to not pay taxes for the lights to flip on at a building where that flag flies outside of. As an African-American person in whatever state has that flag, I'd like to not have to go get a license plate that I'm required to have and it have that flag on it. I think I have the right to not represent that flag in any way if I want to.
Excellent.
Yeah, my sentiments on it, if it really concerned me that much, would be what Ashley just said. But to be honest, you know,
it doesn't, the flag does not, it doesn't trouble me as much as the fact that people put so much into the flag. And there are so many people who are still looking at this flag and whatever, they're deriving hatred from a flag. So they're putting more into a flag than should be. So if the flag hadn't come down, it would not have bothered me one way or the other. However, I clearly do understand the people's cry and wanting to have the flag come down, especially, you know, what happened in South Carolina. But, again, it goes
But even that, for me, I think that the South Carolina thing is such a minute issue. If you want the flag gone, this should not have been the catalyst for this national news. There are plenty of things that have gone down under that flag. I mean, and then let's not even talk about the fact that there have been 6 more black church bombings that the media is not reporting on.
Right. And
so
I don't
there,
really
there,
think that. Yeah. You know, talking to Pastor Bruce, who actually lives in South Carolina, so he has been keeping me up to speed on the churches that have been being bombed, and just hearing his sentiments about the flag. And he has really talked less to me about the flag but more about just the issues of racism and continuing to, you know, continuing to get the message out about sin. And then you got these you have sick people that are putting so much into something. Today is a flag, tomorrow it can be something else. And that's just my sentiments on it. So I don't want anyone to take from this, like, I don't feel the pain that flag stands for. I understand. But again, I don't give it that much credence, that much power. If the flag wasn't there, I think that young man probably, somebody would have put some of the hatred in him. That was, you know, he had been taught that in his home. That's how I feel. Just to develop that type of hate, you know, it just feels like he was taught that coming up.
My big thing with the flag is we don't have swastikas posted all over the U.S. People don't just have swastikas on the back of their car. The swastika is not on anybody's state license plate. We respect Jewish people enough not to nationally sow that kind of anti-Semitic hate. But on the flip side of it, as African Americans, you know, it's not hate, it's history. Well, we can say the same thing about Nazi Germany. It's not hate, it's history. The swastika is history. Why are we upset about it if we wear it? Why would I get pulled into court and sued for being anti-Semitic for wearing that symbol? But this is okay.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thank goodness that they took the flag down. If I'm correct on that, the flag is down from separate places, right?
I think some places are in the works.
Right.
Taking the flag down. And people are pulling it from the shelves on different merchant stores shelves, and you know,
we pulled it from my job.
Hazard. I heard that the Dukes of Hazzard cars that are for sale online and at different stores, they're starting to pull the General Lee because it has the Confederate flag on the top of the car. So I heard talk that they want to now do away with Gone with the Wind, the movie Gone with the Wind, because of the slavery issue, and because at one point there is this gigantic Confederate flag waving in the wind. You know,
I think it's ignorant to act like it never happened or to pull movies about it. I mean,
it
happened. Nobody's pulling
what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
We can't act like it didn't exist, but let's give it its proper place. Don't force me to wear this symbol. How about we have it in a museum where we talk about this history, just like we have World War II museum. We talk about this issue and what happened here, but we don't force people to see it every day of their lives. And if you as an individual want to wear that symbol and accept whatever assumptions one makes about you for having that, then that's 100% okay.
And to be sure, we know that we can't change what's in the heart of man. you know, whether the flag was raised or not, we know what's in their heart is in their heart. And if it's filled with hatred, the removal or leaving the flag is not going to change it. So we know we can't legislate morality or a love. You know, please love me. You know, we can't ask that of people. If it's not there for us, it's not there. I don't think that's the big issue. At least I don't want it to be. I don't want that to get lost in all the in all the shouting to bring this flag down. I think it's coming from a place of pain and just like, you know, like you said about the Jewish people, they respect us enough not to wave this in front of our faces. So I can understand that. There was something else that that you said to me when we talked on Saturday. Oh, my goodness. We talked for a long time that night. I'm trying to remember everything that we did say. Oh, my goodness. It was right on the tip of my tongue. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But, well, let's just continue the conversation. If it comes back to me,
it'll come back.
Yeah. But definitely
one thing,
different banners.
Go ahead. No, you're still talking about the flags. I'm waiting till you finish that point.
I was just going to once again say that the different banners that different people choose to walk under, you know, symbolically, it's all symbolic. And, again, we need to be aware of what's going on. Like you mentioned, Ashley, that the church bombings, and I don't know how much in the news that is, the fires, the arsonists that are out there setting fire to churches now. This is another thing that's been happening. I don't know if everybody's aware of that. Just be aware. Be aware that we have to be we have to be mindful on more than one level here. We have to be spiritually mindful to recognize the times that we're living in, to recognize the voice of God and what he's saying in this hour, and I believe it's stand firm. Don't let these things shake you. Stand firm to what you know, to what you believe. I'm coming again. Don't be deceived. Please don't be deceived. I am not mocked. So
I think these are the times where you really start to, when you hear people talking about the end times and Jesus coming back now. And right now there's a clear divide with two different type of Christians going on right now.
There is.
Oh, God loves everybody. Nothing's going to happen to them Christians. And then there are the Christians who are like, it is the times of Noah and the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I feel like it's coming soon. And one of the things I love, and it's from a guy that, you put me on, Mom, the Francis Chan guy. One thing he says so beautifully is, you know, if God loves everybody, well, how does he still kill people? Have you read the Old Testament? He loves everybody. He killed half everybody in that book, okay? God has a standard. You're going to meet it or you're going to die, and that's just reality.
But this is the goodness of God. This is the goodness of God. He gives us a space of repentance. Sometimes he delays his judgment. This is so we can get it together.
And there's always an opportunity to get it together.
Yes. There's all this loving kindness and this long suffering. This is the God we serve. He is long suffering. He gives you that space of repentance. He gives you that time to say, come to me. And then when we are his, he isn't letting us go that easy. You know what I'm saying? That's why he's so jealous of us. He's jealous. He says, I'm coming after you. I will trouble you if I have to, because I want, you are mine.
Ashley is saying something that's really key too, and that's another hard pill to swallow, is that even not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, I have two people that keep bringing me back to Matthew's and Acts, and just read Matthew, read Acts. And then I was in Jeremiah and just stuck in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And there is judgment, bottom line. And God shows his love through correction. And for far too long, I know the churches that I've sat in, that you hear sermons like God is a Santa Claus.
and you hear all the good, you know, yeah, we know God is a loving God, but what that love comes in different ways too. It comes in forms of correction and let me get you together. Yes, he waits. He wants every person to come to him. But unfortunately, Jesus tells us that, you know, there are going to not be many people. That's why you keep hearing that. Dust your feet off and keep on moving. He who has an ear, let him hear, because there's going to be some people that are just not going to get it and don't want to get it.
Yeah.
They have hardened hearts.
The reality is, it's not going to be some people. It is going to be
95%
of all Christians.
It's going to be many people. Yeah. And that's the hard part. And that is a harsh right. And it's a hard,
yeah.
It's a hard reality because we're living it, we're seeing it, but it's the truth. And I just believe that we have to stop being taught just that, like, God is just Santa Claus and that he does not want us to change our ways. That's not true. You know, there's more to that. And so we can't just keep taking God for granted and then or hearing sermons that we want to change them to fit into our lifestyles instead of having those sermons do what they're supposed to do or the scripture, the Bible, do what it's supposed to do and change us. So that's a truth. That's a hard, uncomfortable. I'm even uncomfortable saying it. It's uncomfortable to know that. But either you do it or you don't. And actually, you're correct.
Yeah,
we're at a
is.
Place where there's a true divide. Either you're going to be a friend of me, friend of the world or enemy of me, and that's what if God were, not of me, Tanya, of God. And so we have to choose.
Right.
And to choose wisely is to study his word, to pray and ask God for revelation. The gentleman that talked to you, Ashley, as a Christian, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you did it already, but you pray that God gives him a repentant heart. You pray that God delivers him from that stronghold. That's what we're charged to do. We can intercede on the behalf of others because clearly he has a struggle. He's confessed his struggle to you. He actually confessed his struggle to you. He confessed his sin.
Yeah.
You know, so you can pray for him, and that's all you can do. If he come back to you for another word, you give it to him. The only way you can give him a word is if you study, and you know it yourself.
That's what I want to say. I remember now. I remember, and it relates to this young man, because so many people, you know, people are going back and forth, like you alluded to, Ashley. Some people are just experimenting with something different. Just want to do something different now. You know, never had a tendency before in their life, and I'm just going to jump on this bandwagon now. This young man, by his own words, said he's struggling. You know, somebody could come along and say, and kind of get angry with him. You know, if he decides, you know what, I'm done with that lifestyle, once and for all, I'm done. I'm going this direction, this path. Now there's going to be this thing. I remember a while back we were talking about the kids who may now want to identify as transgender or the opposite sex that they were not born. Lately in the news, they've been saying that they're not even psychiatrists or whoever their family might bring them to talk to someone. It's going to be against the law for them to even advise them to change back, to say, well, you know what, I was wrong. I was making a mistake. So I see the same thing that could potentially happen now for those who want to come out of that lifestyle. No, I really want to come out. I'm coming out. Now there might be this backlash. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You're going back? So, you know, we do have to lift these people up who
lift them up, yeah.
Who are
accepting is the church going to be to people who truly break out of homosexuality? Like, let's really look at ourselves as the body. And
well,
this
the church,
man
the body
who's been in this homosexual lifestyle, his walk is effeminate. His talk is effeminate because this is the lifestyle he's lived for the past 10 years. How accepting are we going to be as a church to help this man break that?
But, Ash, this is why I'm smiling at you bringing up this stuff, you know, because the only way I can answer that question is I go right back to Scripture. And it's just how when Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees, like, how are you sitting down with those Gentiles? What are you doing with them? Like, they're not good enough. And Jesus had to kind of get in their stuff. So
It's not new. People are going to put their nose up. But again, those very people are people just like, you know, those religious folks were back then. They're just religious. They don't have a relationship.
Exactly.
There's no relationship. Yeah. And
I'm
so
gonna,
we do,
we are at the end of our show, ladies. Your conversation is really good. So just for the final thoughts, we have all sinned and fallen short, but God is God, and He is good. He is long-suffering. He's ready, willing, able, and He's mighty to save us all, whatever our issue. Like Ashley said, we all have some issue. So that doesn't make me better than you or you better than me or whoever's out there struggling with something that we're not struggling with in particular. Oh, no, no, no. God is here, and He can rescue us all. And that's the goodness of God. And if y'all have any final thoughts, go ahead and get them out there.
My final thought, and I'll let Ashley have the last because she's a guest. My final thought that if anyone does not know about the gift of salvation, please, find out about the gift of salvation. You can start in the book of John and just learn about who Jesus Christ is and then, you know, and go from there. And Ashley, I'll let you have the last thing.
My last thought is, if you are a Christian, if you really feel like you are a Christian, immerse yourself in your word for yourself. Get an understanding for yourself. Speak to God for yourself, and don't let anybody take away that experience from you, because we're about to step into times that are way more confusing than even this is.
Yes.
And we need to help. Amen. We need to be able to be mentally ready, hold the standard, and do it in love, because the world is not supposed to accept what we have, but the world is going to know about God and how real He is by the love that we have for
Lord.
One another.
Amen.
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 Awesome.
Well put. Love
you. Oh,
ass.
God, I raised you right. Bye.
Good night, y'all. Bye-bye.
I raised you right, girl.
Bye.
There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.